I'm sure you all know this, but these first round playoffs, NBA and NHL, off to a very strong start. I know the NBA and viewers are reveling in the drama around 76ers and Knicks. Boy, MSG is so intense. Nuggets, Lakers, another great series. And in the NHL, we see Bruins and Maple Leafs, two classics, go back to Toronto, tied at 1-1. Really exciting matchups and really exciting markets. And happy Passover to all those that observe. This is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, April 23rd. Good morning. I'm Abe Madcor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. The New York Times has one of the more interesting stories of the day, reporting that FIFA is close to a deal with Apple that would give Apple worldwide media rights for a new tournament. This is the month-long World Cup-style competition for top teams. It's called the Club World Cup. It will be played for the first time in the United States next summer. The value of the deal could be around $1 billion. And it's unclear of the reach of the deal and if the deal with Apple would include any free-to-air rights. But the Club World Cup is scheduled to be played June 15th through July 13th next summer. So why is this deal interesting? Well, it would be a lead-in to the World Cup in 2026, and this event has great ambitions, but has been received by a pretty soft marketplace. And this would also bring more soccer to the United States. It would prove again that Apple believes big time in soccer, as it would complement the company's big deal with Major League Soccer. I also believe this would mean my thoughts of Apple possibly being an NBA media partner would not happen, as it would seem Apple is focusing its efforts on the other truly global sport of soccer. So a lot of elements to this deal that are very interesting and actually are relevant to the larger sports business. More details on this deal likely to come over the next week or so. Let's stay with soccer because the Kansas City Current, one of the more interesting teams in all of sports, unveiled plans for a 20-acre mixed-use district next to the club's CPKC Stadium along the Missouri Riverfront. SBJ's Brett McCormick reported that groundbreaking is expected later this year, and the first of three phases is scheduled to be completed before the 26th World Cup. Now, why is this interesting? Well, this would be the first mixed-use development adjacent to a women's pro team stadium. And remember, CPKC Stadium was the first facility developed and built exclusively for a women's team. Now, the owners of the team, Angie and Chris Long, have enlisted Marquee Development to develop the site. Perkins Eastman is the architect. The initial phase will consist of more than $200 million in private investment. The overall project will take more than 10 years and be close to an $800 million investment. So I bring this up to showcase one, more mixed-use development, and two, the efforts of Chris and Angie Long, who are real leaders in building a business around their women's soccer team. Last week at the CAA World Congress of Sports, there was plenty of buzz of new leagues and the launching of new sports. What could hit? What could stick? What wouldn't stick? What would resonate? So there's a lot of interesting concepts out there, and some of them are around track and field. Now comes news that Olympic champion Michael Johnson has secured more than $30 million from investors for a track league he plans to launch next year. Now, Winners Alliance, that is the for-profit arm of the Professional Tennis Players Association, was the lead investor and will be the league's operating partner of this new track and field event league. Now, Michael Johnson will launch the track series in 2025, and he's bringing a whole new idea around track and field, new formats, new concepts. He wants to elevate the stars and the rivalries while trying to amplify fan interest. Now, he has also brought on some agencies to help him with the launch of this league, which does not have a name as of now. He's brought on a creative agency, Doubleday and Cartwright. He's also brought on two circles that will help in fan analysis and fan development, and SRK Strategies will handle PR. Now, the league will launch with its name and details in June, with competition to begin next year in 25. So a startup league led by Michael Johnson starting to put the pieces together. Let's shift to women's golf, because should the LPGA be a buy for all you listeners out there? One could argue that the LPGA is one of the hottest sports properties around right now, showing real signs of growth and interest. Nelly Korda's win at the Chevron Championship was her fifth straight win, and her hot streak has really increased the coverage around the LPGA. And it's been a long time since an American player truly dominated the LPGA. Crowds at the Chevron over the weekend were very good. Final round action went late on NBC. I thought media coverage of the event was very broad and very significant. And there's no doubt Nelly Korda's win streak has elevated the LPGA's visibility. More media coverage, more national attention, and she is a real draw. The big question becomes, what can the LPGA do with all of its platforms right now to take advantage of this moment? And is Nelly Korda on board to do whatever she can to capitalize on this moment in time? Because again, more interest, more eyes on the LPGA now than I can remember over a very long time. And you know, there's been a lot of buzz, reports, and debates around the economics of women's sports lately, especially around Caitlin Clark's first-year salary, where she'll make more than just over $76,000. And while there are many upset by it and have reason to be upset by the pay gap between women and male athletes, the bottom line is that for many women's sports leagues, they are not profitable, and the revenue just isn't there. For the WNBA, the league brings in around $200 million a year, and there just has to be more revenue and more revenue streams for the league to pay players more. That means we need more media revenue. We need more ticket revenue, merchandise sales. We need more sponsorship revenue. Now, the first area that the WNBA can see some growth is in media, as its current deal is up at the end of 2025. The league gets about $60 million a year. They want to double that. But there's a lot to this subject, and one of the best pieces I read about this subject was sent to me by a longtime listener of the Buzzcast, and it was by veteran journalist Roy Johnson. And he wrote a very strong opinion piece and suggested that everyone who is justifiably upset about the pay gap between men and women athletes do their part by watching women's sports. That would increase ratings. By attending women's sports events, that would increase attendance. By buying more merchandise, all these things that will increase gross revenues for all these leagues. And that will, in turn, go to benefit the players. It's a good piece. Check it out. Roy Johnson on the pay gap between male and female athletes. It is worth your time. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Abe Madcor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you tomorrow.